Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast. Here's your host for today, Paul Gloro.
It is the last week of the shortest month of the year. We are officially in Pisces season, and we're here with Crystal Eves. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, Paul.
So here we are. We're like swimming in the waters of Pisces season.
Yeah, we are. We're in it now. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of things swimming in Pisces these days, so we're going to have lots to talk about.
Yeah, well, first of all, I was going to save it for later, but let's talk about it now. We just had our final presentation on the zodiac sign with you last week in Way of the Sun. Can you believe already it's been 12 months? This is our 12th month we're in now.
We whipped through that zodiac like nobody's business. Yeah, it really went by like rather quickly, but also it felt like substantial, but it did seem like there it is, a year just gone by, and
yeah,
that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's amazing. We'll talk a little bit more about it later, but I just wanted to like acknowledge this is also our 12th episode of the Living Spiritfully podcast, talking about all of the signs of the zodiac. So for those that are joining us for the first time, go back and listen to all of the previous episodes, because every month we've had a conversation about that month's zodiac sign.
We've been having a nice look at just some basic traits of the various signs, and you know what it means to be born under that sign, but also just that energy of that sign, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because it doesn't necessarily mean just because you were born under that sign, you're going to have those traits, but those traits live within all of us in some way. And we either can access them, or we need to work on accessing them.
Yeah. And the Pisces traits are all about sensitivity and connection that is sort of passing beyond the borders between people, you know, that sort of openness to receive emotional feedback and to feel compassion and empathy for other people, to be able to experience things like art and nature in ways that maybe go a little bit above and beyond what the average experience would be. Pisces energy is the last sign of the zodiac. And so we go from Aries when we start out the journey in the zodiac to this, like Aries starts out as a singularity, you know, it's sort of like, this is the beginning. This is the point. This is definition of self. And we come all the way around the zodiac to Pisces, and we begin to diffuse the self into the all. And so Pisces is very good at sort of allowing itself to sort of move its energy into the musical experience that it's just listening to, and then into this artistic experience it's just witnessing, into this emotional experience that someone else is having with it. And it can just sort of like move almost like the seaweed does at the bottom of the ocean, you know, like just with the current. It's just moving with it. It's letting things pass through. It's still itself, but it's having experiences that move through. And it's a lovely energy to have. So you don't have to be born under in Pisces to have this ability, but a lot of people who are born in Pisces do have this ability.
Well, when listening to the presentation, I'm thinking of my bestie, who is, her son is Pisces. And so a lot of the qualities of the sensitivity that you were talking about, the compassion, mm-hmm. I was just thinking of my best friend, Alicia. So if you're listening, Alicia, and actually I think you know Alicia, because I gifted her a session with you.
Oh, lovely.
For her birthday one year. So yeah, now let's talk a little bit. You mentioned some of the qualities already. Mm-hmm. As I said, one of my favorites seems to be the compassion that Pisces has. What else is there to note about the Pisces archetype?
Well, you know, to understand any of the signs, we take a look at how they're composed. And so Pisces is what we call a mutable water sign. So it means it's sensitive, and all of those things I was just discussing about the ability to feel and to perceive and to be able to attune to what's going on around it. But it's mutable in the sense that it's also adaptable and able to flow in the moment from thing to thing. So that's where we start with Pisces. Pisces energy is is really a lovely energy that has the capacity to perceive the world with extra sensibility than is normally there for people. So what often happens for Piscean types is that let's say they are listening to music. Well, they might feel it with their whole body, you know, instead of just with their ears, or they might really appreciate colors differently than other people, or they might pick up body language cues a little differently. And so when you're this sensitive, in terms of like being able to perceive in such a technicolor kind of way in the world, then it also means that you're going to need to protect yourself a little bit from what is coming in at you, because you could very easily be overwhelmed. And so sometimes the Pisces energy is shy, and sometimes it wants to be introverted and not spend a lot of time with other people, but because you can sense that could be very overwhelming for somebody who is interacting in these ways. Now, if you're with a lot of happy people who are always up and enjoying the, you know, maybe you don't have a problem, you know, out in the world and connecting. But if you're with a lot of people who are struggling emotionally to stay on an even keel, or people who are processing things, who are angry, this is hard for Pisces to be around, because they're going to feel everything that's happening, and it's not going to feel good in their bodies. And then what they're going to do is they're going to want to make it better, because when you feel better, I feel better. If I'm a Pisces, right? If I have strong Pisces energy, I'm going to want you to thrive, because then I don't feel stressed when I'm around you. So Pisces energy really does care a lot for other people. It hurts when other people hurt. You know, it feels joy when other people feel joy. I have a friend who is a Pisces, and one time we were out skiing, and I wasn't skiing. I was in the chalet with all the kids, and I brought a cribbage board. And she said, "I'd love to learn cribbage." I said, "Okay, yeah, well, I'll teach you how." And you know, she didn't really know how to play, and it's kind of complicated. So I said, "You do this, and then you get a hand like that." Anytime I got a point of any kind in the game, she went, "Look what you did! Oh, that's awesome." She was so happy for me beating her. You know? Right. So I'm like this cutthroat Scorpio. I'm like, I'm winning. You know, I wish we had that money, you know. And she was just so genuinely happy to see someone else win. And that's Pisces energy right there. Like, you know what reminds me of Pisces energy? Do you remember years ago, they had the Special Olympics, and there was like a running race, and one of the athletes fell, and all of the rest of the athletes stopped running, picked the person up, and they all walked across together. That's Pisces. It's just so, you know, it's thinking about how would the other person feel, and wouldn't this be nice if we did this, and we're all in this together. So, and that's the real positive, you know, side of Pisces. And sometimes Pisces will cheat and lie and hide and do all sorts of things. Like other signs have their traits too. But anything that Pisces is doing is often a defense mechanism against being overwhelmed by their experience, or not wanting to disclose to you something that might disappoint you or might make you mad at them. And often the things they get in trouble for are the fact that they just stayed in the moment too long. They drank too much because the party was going on, and now their partner is like, "You drank too much. Like, why do you keep doing this?" And they're like, "Well, I was just caught up in the moment, you know." Or you know, "You kissed that person. Why did you do that?" It's like, "Well, I was moved in the moment to do that." So sometimes Pisces will have some explaining to do, and then they don't want to do that explaining because, you know, and on the more mild sense, that only has something to do with like, did you mail that bill payment yet?
Right.
Oh God, I didn't know. You know, they don't want, you know, yeah, I did. No, did you? So sometimes Pisces will cover their tracks if they've, you know, done something and they feel worried that it's going to upset you, and they don't want to deal with that. But that's only because they are so attuned to everybody around them, and they really are just trying to keep everybody happy and pleased. And so sometimes that can lead to a little fancy juggling of the facts just right. to make, so everyone can hear what they want to hear.
Right? Yes. So, yep. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. Oh, amazing. I mean, as always, there's something to love about all the signs, and the way you present it just makes me appreciate the energy that each sign brings.
Yeah, the Pisces energy is just, I love it. I mean, I love all of the signs, but the Pisces energy, I think is so special, because so many times Pisces energy can be like the healers and the therapists, and because they do pick up from people, and other people recognize in them that they have a healing ability. And one of the things you see most with Pisces, if someone's got strong Pisces energy, you know who recognizes them first? Babies. Babies see them. Like, so they'll be, so if you're not a Pisces yourself, but if you wonder, do I have Pisces energy? Ask yourself, do babies stare at me? Because if babies stare at you, you probably have something Piscean about you, because babies will recognize people who speak their language, which is no language at all. Right. So, right. So they're moving in this energetic way, and they know who can feel what they got going on, and then they look at that person, they're like, because they like, oh, there's somebody I can relate to. And sure enough, you know, the Pisces individual, the strong Piscean type, will often be like, baby, you know. They're probably, you know, just like puppy, like they really can relate to these really innocents of life, the animals, the babies, the people who are, you know, at various stages of self-development.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. You did mention that there's a lot of stuff happening in Pisces area of the sky now. So,
Tons. Okay.
Tell us everything.
So I wrote a few things down. I'm going to have to refer to my notes here, because there's quite a bit going on. So what's happening is that Saturn has been moving through Pisces. And Neptune has been moving through Pisces in recent years. And very soon, Jupiter will be moving through Gemini, which means it's going to be affecting Pisces. And we're going to also have a retrograde that will be connecting to Pisces too. So there's a lot of action for Pisces. So here's how it breaks down. If you're born, you know, in the early part of the sign, say about February 18th to about the 26th, then all this last year, 2023, you've been dealing with Saturn transit. And that means that maybe you've needed to commit to something, or maybe things have been like, you've been at the hardworking stage of some project that you're going on, and things are slower. They're a little more serious. They're not necessarily easy. And now if it's something you're working toward and it's meant to be hard, like you're in school and you're really working hard, or you're apprenticing at something, or you're learning a new skill, it's meant to be hard. And if you're putting in the hard work, it really works out for you. But it's a reality facing time. It's a hardworking time. So if you're born in those early Pisces degrees, then you're just coming out of that hard time. And by the time we get into March, it's going to feel like something has lifted for you. And then you're going to feel like things are improving. What will happen next to that group is when we come into May, May 26th to about July 14th, you're going to be tested as to, did you learn all this? Did you actually do the hard work? So I kind of liken this to, you're supposed to be going to the gym all last year. Did you go to the gym? Because we're going to throw you a heavy medicine ball. And if you've been to the gym, you can catch it. It's not going to like hit you in any hard way, because it'll be the test. So if you've been in school, like hopefully, you know, your final exams and whatnot will go well, or things like that. So you're going to see how well established the things that you were working on actually, if they took or not. So that's the early part of Pisces. February 26th to March 2nd, batter up. It's your turn. You know, the early Pisces had that serious year. Now you're having a serious year. And that serious year is exactly what I was just talking about for the earlier Pisces. You're going to maybe commit to something. You're going to, you know, turn a corner on something, like a new phase. You'll be actively working towards something. So that's a big piece. And then, for those who are born in the later degrees of the sign, so this would be anybody with like March 13th to say the 16th, there has been a Neptune transit that's been going. So Neptune's been in Pisces and it's been doing some things too, but for the people who are born later in the sign. So that group has been having like spiritual awakenings, and their spiritual awakenings are really allowing them to tap into their intuition, to their true sense of what their calling happens to be, this type of thing. But know that if you've been living through this, that maybe also some parts of your life have to fade out as you go through this, because as you come to know like something that is really more authentic to you, some of the things that are less authentic have to slip away. So that's been going on for those born March 13th to the 16th. That's just wrapping up this spring as well. And then those who are born March 16th to the 19th, so to the end of the sign, they're coming into it now. So April, even last year, you might have started to feel it for some of you, and it'll go until March of 2025. So there's this, it's a call up in a sense. And what people have to be kind of aware of is like that they want to be in tune with what is their higher good. You don't want to be in avoidance behaviors if you're that group. Everybody else, pretty much, you know, it's not such a big deal what's going on for them. But except for that, for those people who are born March 6th to the 19th, there's going to be a Mars transit, which means you're going to be busy. So the last half of the sign is pretty much going to be go, 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 starting October. So anyway, just a little rundown. Lots of things going on in the sign. Some people more serious, some people sort of on a spiritual journey, and half of the sign in a real sort of active phase. The first part of the sign finally getting a little bit of a break after a year of hard work. So
yeah,
it's a different things happening.
So Saturn is the great teacher. So that's where a lot of the lessons and stuff that you're talking about. So he's going to be going into the latter half of the sign or middle part of the sign. Middle. And that's what's going to pick up.
Yep.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Neptune rules Pisces.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So Pisces. Yeah. So there, that's like, that's beneficial when Neptune is in his sign.
Well, it's a little extra. You know, yeah. it's just a little extra Pisces energy happening there. So it means that for those Pisces who are in tune and sort of really, let's say you're a yoga instructor and you are a Pisces and you've got Neptune coming through there, then you might feel like I'm really hitting a stride with this. It's really happening for me. But let's say you are an alcoholic. Pisces, and the Neptune is coming through there. Now you might spiral out of control with the drinking. Right. So it really just depends on how are you doing with your Pisces energy as the Neptune comes in. And, you know, that's going to be amplified. So if you were really living from a place of honoring your Pisces abilities and then not say, for example, hiding from things in life or living in a fantasy or believing that a Nigerian prince is going to send you, you know, $3 million if you send 50,000 over, you know, if you're not doing that, then that's good. But if you are doing that, this could get amplified.
Right.
You might need a little reality check.
Okay. So Pisces, buckle up, stay in your body. And
stay in your body. Stay in your body. For those early in the sign, know that you've done your hard work. For those in the middle of the sign, know that you're coming into a time when you could really commit to something that could be meaningful. And for those of you at the end of the sign, know that there is an extra sensitivity that's coming in here and you could really do something with that. You could move into your calling. You could develop your intuition more. You could really feel inspired to be more of yourself. So it's sort of broken down in thirds.
Oh, what an exciting time for Pisces.
Yeah. It's a big year. It's a big couple of years for Pisces. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Okay. So can we just talk about our experience with Way of the Sun?
Yeah.
I had the best time, and I've mentioned this before, and it's probably like one of the biggest kind of things for me was going through and looking at the signs in that period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now
as it was happening.
So like when we were in Aquarius season, really studying and feeling into that Aquarian energy in that time. And now, like, I'm excited now that we're getting into Pisces season, how to feel into that Pisces energy. What was it like for you as the one that was like leading the experience of, you know, sharing your knowledge of all of the signs with everyone? How did it feel in that time?
Well, I have to say that to organize it in that way, and this was your idea to organize it in that way. And I think that was brilliant. It's nothing that I would have thought to do myself, because that piece that you bring to the whole experience is sort of like to settle into the body, to settle into the energy, to settle into the time that we're in. And sometimes I know for me, I can like go, okay, information. You know, you know, so I could just molest people with information, which is it's not a kind thing to do to people. So, right. So you suggesting that we do it over time and in the right season allowed the energy and the information I was sharing, and then with your embodiment sessions that you brought, it allowed it to sort of settle, because people could feel what was happening. But then also they were in the energy, and then they were working in their bodies with the energy, and they had the knowledge. So it was a real full experience. And I put that all on you, because I never would have arranged it in that manner. And then that made it very structured for people, and it didn't overwhelm anybody, because it can be a lot of information. So it sort of allowed it to sort of sing. It's like eating things with fiber. Right? because and then it just works through your system a little slower, and the blood sugar releases a little more in a measured way. That's what I felt was happening, is that the information was absorbing better because people were having more time with it.
Right.
Were living in it. And then they got to experience some of it in addition to whatever I was sharing on my night. Yeah.
What I loved was how you really tied in like a lot of your life experience of what was happening at the time that was so aligned with that energy. Like I think back to in Cancer season when randomly you saw a crab shaped croissant, right? And then there was like some other things too. So that to me was, I loved that as well, how you tied in the energy of the time into what was going on in your life and shared that with others to teach more about that energy.
Yeah. And because you can look for signs and you'll find them, you know, if you're looking for, if you're aware of any, well, you know, like if you buy a new car and then suddenly you see that car on the road. So like if you're learning about a sign and it happens to be that time for that sign, you're going to see the little indicators that represent that. And this is what I like about the tropical zodiac. Which is different than the sidereal zodiac. So the sidereal zodiac uses the stars and the tropical zodiac uses the seasons, is that it takes you through the seasons, and it's in the symbolism of the signs is tied to the seasons. So, you know, Aries is about new beginnings, and then we have things poking up through the ground and we have new animals being born, and it's the beginning, and you can see these signs everywhere. And there's a reason why the signs are tied to the seasons. It's because this is symbolic. It's like a symbolic representation of the seasons. So it's really excellent to sort of use that as a gauge, but it's not surprising that we can see these reminders of the signs if we know what to look for.
Right. Yeah. The whole tying into the season thing, I think that's what makes it even, that's what really I feel makes me even more aligned. You know, when we use that, when you're aligned with, you know, the universe or whatever, you're just in the flow. I find that studying this stuff during the seasons and being aligned with that energy, regardless of what your sign is, but just to sort of follow it along, I don't know, I feel so much more in tune with nature, which then I feel within me has me within the flow of my life.
Yeah. I get that. You know what it did for me? Because as we were going along, then I was writing, I was writing about the symbolism. And each time I was writing about each of the signs, I was referencing the light quite a bit, because the sun is the light that we, you know, that we're following around the zodiac. So, and I noticed things about the rhythm of the light that I had never noticed before. Like, here's one thing that even right now, I'm still going, oh yeah, that's how that works. Like, you know, you live it and you feel it, but you don't really appreciate until you sort of make the connection. And I was thinking about, you know, we're always aware that at the summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, we have the longest day of the year. And then in the winter solstice, we have the shortest. And then at the equinoxes, it's approximately equal. But what I hadn't appreciated before is the speed with which we are moving toward those points. Mm-hmm. So like as we're on the solstices, the daylight change is very small, 6 seconds a day, 3 seconds a day, like not very much. But right now in Canada, we're getting an extra 2.5 minutes of sunlight every day incrementally. Like it's ripping along.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize is that once we get to the Aries point, that starts to slow down. It starts to, like, the days are getting longer, but the speed with which that's happening is slower. And I was like, oh yeah, I hadn't appreciated that before. And that happens the same at the September equinox, where as we approach it, it's the, you know, it's speeding up, and then it starts to slow down how dark it's getting. It's still getting darker, but it's the pace at which it does that is slower. So I'm really starting to like settle into these other rhythmic truths that my body knows. Like as we you know, as we come into the fall in Canada anyway, where we are, I can really feel like after we get around the equinox, I start to feel in my body just the blanket weight of the darkness as it starts to come in. And you can really appreciate that. And now, so I've always known it in my body, but now I'm going, oh, this is an extra piece. You're going, oh, it's because of the speed and this. And, you know, I'm just
right.
Anyway, it's just an aside, but it's something I got out of the session the whole year that maybe I hadn't really appreciated. And I think people got things out of it that they hadn't appreciated in other areas. That was just a nuanced thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that reminds me of, because in Way of the, not Way of the Sun, excuse me, in Arise, we follow the sunrise, the sunset, the moonrise, the moonset. And what I notice, because I also pay attention to the percentage of the moon's light. So as it's like at the new phase, it like increases by like 10% almost a day, or not a day, excuse me. Oh, like, just over it. Anyways, it's a bigger chunk new moon than creeping up to the full moon. It's like over the course of those days, it's like 98%, 99%, 100%, as opposed to like the larger increase. And then once we get past and we're in the waning phase, then again, it starts off shrinking slowly, and then it almost shrinks like pretty fast.
Yeah. It's like, it's these sine waves, right? There's like, it's these sine waves, and then the energy is equal on the other side and building, and then kind of, it is really nice to appreciate that.
Yes.
I have never appreciated that about the moon either. So it's so interesting to think about it, because there's like two things that are overlapping there. There's the experience of what you're seeing, the big full moon, and then there's the tiny little increments that are happening around that time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a bigness and a smallness simultaneously. This is what, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting symbolically.
See, like this kind of thing fascinates me, because in this digital world that we live in, it's just so nice to like look up to the sky and remember we are part of this rhythmic flow that like is intentional, it's rhythmic, it's fluid, it's all of that stuff. I think, you know, we miss that in this day and age.
I would agree. And our bodies are going with it, even if our minds are not, because, you know, and this is one of the things that I really believe, you know, astrology is having a renaissance all over the place these days. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I feel is that we have like cognitively gotten so far ahead of ourselves that our biology hasn't really fully adapted to how far ahead we are cognitively. So it takes, you know, you have to give birth and give birth and give birth and give birth to make those advancements in evolution. But insight can go very quickly. Right. So we're outpacing our bodies. And every once in a while, it's really great to be reminded, like, back into the rhythm that is the body rhythm. And then that's a place where things feel right in our cells.
You know,
right? That's like that in our matter, in our being, that feels correct. And that's a healthy place to be, because that's, you know, I could tell my heart all about AI. It doesn't care.
Yeah.
I can tell my digestive system about a new documentary I just watched. It's not going to have, unless it's really gory, it's not going to have any reaction. Like, my body is going to be responding to these more primal rhythms. And I think astrology has an opportunity with people to put the, help them find a chord back into these rhythms that are so persistent and have been there for millions of years.
Yeah.
You know, like that every creature on the planet, every creature has a circadian rhythm because the earth keeps rotating. And so, it's adaptive. And so, you know, if you didn't have a circadian rhythm, meaning like a night day rhythm, you wouldn't survive compared to the people who did. And so we just adapted to be attuned to these rhythms that are happening. And it's so in us. So it's so much more ancient than the technical parts of astrology. It's ancient in this way. I remember going up to a cottage when my children were young, and because we live in sort of a light polluted area that lots of street lights and see that you don't really see the sky so much, and going up to a cottage where there was just darkness and the stars, and seeing my children go, oh, look, you know, I was like, what's up there? It's wonderful. It's wonderful what is up there. It's like, and I mean that from like, it's full of wonder.
Full
it's
of wonder,
like,
yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
And that's in us all. I mean, that's the beginning. That is the beginning of astrology, is that looking up in wonder of what we're a part of. It's nice.
Oh, it is amazing. And you're amazing. Honestly, I had so much fun just going through this journey with you, the way of the sun. And, you know, I have to say, because, you know, life is a spiral. And as much as it's circular, it's also, you know, we're ascending. And I mean, this is kind of the second time that we've gone through the zodiac. The first time we went through it, it was within a 12-week period. Now this is the first time we've done it in a year. I'm excited to see, and I don't know, we haven't really like ironed out what it's going to look like, but I know we're going to be doing something else in this next trip around the, wait, what is it? What did you spin around the sun?
Yeah.
I cannot wait to find out what it is, because I'm loving it. I'm learning so much about myself. I'm learning so much about the world. I'm learning so much about the universe. It's just amazing.
It's what a great Pisces theme that is, right? To sort of sit in the anticipation of what might be, and to know that we can create it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Crystal Eves, I love you so much.
I love you too, Paul. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. So we'll see how the rest of it unfolds.
Absolutely. Listeners, you have to check out the show's notes to get in touch with Crystal, because her doing a natal chart reading on you is life-changing. I'm not just saying that because I love you so much, Crystal. It's also very true. So check that out. And Crystal, I love you so much. We'll see you again next time.
See you soon. Bye.
We are here now with Dr. Patricia Rennie. It is the month of love. You're gearing up for your 6 weeks of self-love, which I'm super excited about. You mentioned last time we were together.
Definitely. Yeah, we're just a few weeks away from starting now. So that's super exciting. And you can still sign up to join us for 6 weeks of self-love. That's fantastic.
Yes. So listeners, check out the show's notes, because there's plenty of info on how you can connect with Dr. Pat and Dr. Kathy to get in on that 6 weeks. Let's talk today. We're talking again, still in the heart space, talking about heart health, cholesterol. Everybody's heard that word. If you remember back in the 80s and the 90s, everything was cholesterol free, even the crackers that don't have
Yeah.
cholesterol in it. But let's talk
Exactly.
about
Good point.
it.
That's a good point, Paul, because I think healthcare, just like diet, swings back and forth, and we have such from one end to the other, such extremes. I'm really hoping we land in the middle sometime soon. But yeah, good point. Cholesterol is only found in animal products. Anything that's purely a vegetable product contains no cholesterol. It may contain other kinds of fats, but it doesn't contain cholesterol. So yeah, sometimes the marketing is a little bit misleading as well. So cholesterol is this fatty substance. It's actually a steroid that the liver produces for us. And so it's not such a bad thing. Like, our liver makes it. We need cholesterol to make our cell membranes, to make vitamin D. And keynote here, because it's a steroid, it's like a steroid hormone, it's the precursor for estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and cortisol. We can't live without cholesterol. So we really it's really, really important. The issue is that's our endogenous, our inborn cholesterol that we make, and then we take in cholesterol exogenously from our diet. And I guess the issue, different people genetically have different predispositions, but when we take in too much from our diet, and then it starts to show up in our blood too high. So usually if you've done regular blood work, you've probably had a lipid panel done. And that'll show you, typically it's in the order of triglycerides, which is sort of a different form of fat in the blood, which is usually elevated by too much sugar, too much fat in your diet, or too much alcohol will really impact the triglycerides. And then you get your HDL, your high density lipoprotein, your LDL, your low density, the total number, and then they now do give us a ratio, which they didn't years ago. And that's, kind of one of my points today is we're really looking at cholesterol the same way we have for 35 years. And we have a lot better information now, but we're still using the same old tests and the same old good cholesterol, bad cholesterol idea, which is super, super, super oversimplified. And, obviously we can't really fully discuss this in 10 minutes, but I want people to understand that all cholesterol isn't bad. It's actually one of the best anti-inflammatories in the body. So when your cholesterol is too high, means there's inflammation in your body.
Wow. That's new to me. As a fitness professional, I've never heard that. I've heard the HDL is high, LDL is lousy.
Yeah.
That I love. Thank you.
And so I like to think about them as firefighters, because if we've got inflammation, we've got a little fire happening somewhere. And so the HDL are the good firefighters. They get up, they get going, they're down the pole, and they're off to the fire. The LDL are the lazy firefighters sitting around eating their donuts, right? So we really want a higher ratio. That's why the ratio comes in now, that they're actually looking at how many good firefighters do you have compared to bad firefighters? Because you could have a good total number, or you could have a really high total number, but if your ratio is better, it's not quite as dire of a consequence.
Got it.
But that we have better tests, we have more information now. It just bears asking your doctor about it before you get stuck on a drug that they're going to want to keep you on for the rest of your life.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the risk. Like, what happens? What are the risks when our cholesterol is too high?
Okay, so
Or when that
obviously, I think
ratio is off, I should say. I need to be mindful of my language.
so the risks are mostly cardiovascular, right? So heart attack or stroke, I guess, are the big ones. So we have these, arteries with their arterial walls, and the blood is flowing through them, carrying oxygen to all the tissues in our body. If the arterial wall gets damaged and something called a fatty streak forms in there, so it's like a well-marbled steak, you get a little bit of fat stuck in the arterial wall and it's a bit inflamed. So the cholesterol comes along to put a band-aid over it. And if you keep doing that, then the lumen of the wall is going to get narrower and narrower. So you have less blood flow going through. So that's arteriosclerosis, when you got less blood flow going through, and then the small vessels in the brain and the fingers and the toes, they start to be more compromised. And then the other risk is that that patchwork can kind of tear and then fly off and get caught somewhere, and that's a stroke.
Right.
So that's the risk of the, you know, the not so great cholesterol. And those risk factors are elevated. I think people know this now, that smoking elevates that. But a lot of it is our diet, our sedentary nature, so our lack of exercise. Some medications will actually impair your lipid metabolism, so they'll push your cholesterol level up. So you should look at that if you're taking any medication, that to sort of keep an eye on that. And then even like menopause. So as women go through menopause, their cholesterol can jump up because that protective estrogen that was there is suddenly not there anymore. So you can see a big jump over a short period of time.
Yeah. Okay. So, because you had also mentioned, like you mentioned just earlier, that cholesterol is important for that hormone production. Does that like support, like does having a good level of cholesterol support like the perimenopause and moving into menopause time? I don't have any information on that. I know I'm participating in a panel discussion with someone that's talking about perimenopause, so I'm going to learn more in March, but
okay.
I have no idea about that. So, but that question came to mind when you mentioned that.
So that's why your body's producing endogenous cholesterol, to run all of those pathways, keep all those cells happy. It's hard to know, like, did nature intend for us to lose our estrogen that way and have our, like, is there a reason why our cholesterol comes up like that? Or is that just a freak of nature that I don't think there's any mistakes, but I'm not sure that we figured that one out. But there is, you know, of course, a risk if you're artificially suppressing cholesterol with medication, that you over suppress it and then you have sexual issues because you don't have enough of those sex hormones.
Ah, interesting. So, and then this goes back to like the medication thing that you were talking about. So we might not always need to go on those drugs anyway for cholesterol.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think usually the first round is like, oh, Paul, your cholesterol is a little bit high. Go home, do some more exercise, lose some weight, clean up your diet. We don't often get really clear instructions about how to do that, and we're not always super motivated. And so 3 months later, when we go back, oh, look, it's a little higher. Well, now I should probably put you on medication. So there, you know, we could have a much, you know, we could have a better way of managing that in the interim, but a lot of people get put on medication that way. And once you're on that medication, they intend for you to be on it for life. And you know, we talked a couple months ago about how every medication depletes certain nutrients in the body. So again, those drugs are given, most of those drugs are called statins. That's the class of medications that they are. And so they will deplete certain nutrients, particularly the one that's most important here is called coenzyme Q10, which is a coenzyme. Coenzymes are like the plus sign in a mathematical equation. Like, we can't get to C without the plus sign of A plus B.
Right.
So statins suppress CoQ10. You're like, oh, big deal. What's so important about that? You need CoQ10 to make energy in the heart. So we're benefiting the heart in one way and harming it in another. So if a person's taking a statin, they should always be taking supplemental CoQ10 to make sure that suppression is getting balanced out.
Right. I think I remember hearing something about that in my early days of studying health and fitness about the supplements. But that is, okay, so then can this just go back to, like, I think what we always talk about here, or what is, I mean, kind of important, movement, making sure that you're eating as close to earth as possible, and just having a healthy and movement doesn't always need to be like gym exercise. Yeah. We know that already. It's just getting up and like they say, sitting is the new smoking, but just getting our bodies moving however we can, as much as we can.
Because it's really interesting, and I've quoted this study for years. The change in lifespan of taking a statin for 5 years, take a statin for like, let's prescribe it today and take it for 5 years, compared to the person who didn't get it, your lifespan will be exactly 4 days longer to take
what?
That to take that drug for 5 years. If you get on a plant-based diet for 2 weeks, you can do exactly the same change in your LDL as that statin does, with no side effects, but the benefit of weight loss, feeling better, more energy, probably lower blood pressure, probably lower blood sugar. So we got to get people on the diet, exercise. Like, this is a life plan. This is not a diet. This is a little bit, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I live it. I love that. That's amazing. Dr. Patricia Rennie, I feel like you have given us so much information. Is there anything else that we need to know about cholesterol and about taking care of ourselves?
I think that's, so if you're in this position where your cholesterol is creeping up over time and your doctor's like, you know, next time I'm going to put you on a statin, there's a couple of other blood tests to ask for, and you may or may not get them, but they are a little bit more specific and they help us determine who's going to benefit the most from a statin and who would do better, like just really clean up your exercise and diet. So those are called apolipoprotein A and B, short ApoA and ApoB, and homocysteine. So ask if those blood tests can be run, or go to your naturopathic doctor and get them done there, because those will give you a little bit more information. That's like, we know this now, 35 years has gone by and we're not using this information, you know, maybe because the test is more expensive or the doctor doesn't really understand the outcome, but there's so much information out there now that I think when you know better, you do better, right? So.
Right, right. Okay. Love that. Listeners, check out the show's notes, because Dr. Patricia Rennie and Dr. Kathy are doing their 6 weeks of self-love. You can check that out. I love you so much. Thank you for keeping our hearts healthy. And we'll see you again next month. So now we're here with Jackie Talley. We're having our morning brew. We've already started a conversation, just like, what are we going to talk about? And, you know, we're already mid-conversation. So listeners, Jackie, you want to talk about the subject that you brought up today?
Well, we in Arise yesterday, we were talking about something. I'm not sure what that was, but it came out of my mouth, the invisible work that we do mm-hmm. in order to prepare to do the real thing that people see. So there's the work that people see us up in front of the class, moving, speaking, cueing, flexing our muscles and so on. But there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes before we show up to mm-hmm. do that work or present that class.
Right. Yeah. And so like, as fitness professionals, as movement educators, and doesn't matter what discipline you're teaching, there is a lot of stuff. So a lot of people just go in and you think, oh, this workout, they just made it on the spot. But mm-hmm. there's, for some things, there's like days or hours of planning. And then other things, there's like years of work that went behind it, right? Mm-hmm. Like our training and, you know, different modalities that we incorporate into the work that we do.
Yeah, we could dig way back even to like college and degrees and practice teaching, or we could go back to the time that you decided that you wanted to get a certification mm-hmm. and you started studying for that. And so that is kind of your foundation that you're working from.
For sure.
And but then for like a week of our work, let's say, you're doing X number of classes. So I am doing I would say hours of preparation to get ready for that. Memorizing dances, even paperwork, like I need to have a sign-in sheet for everybody. We're, you know, still in the dark ages back here. We have people sign in. So there's the physical work to do, and there's also the mental work. And besides memorization, for me, there's worry. I still worry. I mean, after 40, 45 years of doing this, it's like, well, am I really prepared? And like you said earlier, every day I try to figure out ways to make it easier so that I'm not spending all that time preparing.
Yeah, because, you know, for let's see, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I'd say for almost 20 years, I literally pour hours of thought. And then sometimes, because even once my partner was like, because I was like, I heard a song and I'm like, oh, I could easily do this to this thing. He's like, but we're making dinner right now. What does this have to do with anything? He's like, you're not working right now. I'm like, but I'm always working.
Right.
Maybe it's like my neurodivergence that my brain is constantly on, but I just like it literally is. So it's hard for me to sit down and say I spend X amount of time doing this.
Yes.
Well, one of the things that I've been working on, especially in the last year, is how can I streamline all of that stuff that we do? And one of the things, because back in the day, I would like, okay, well, this is a HIIT class. So this is like me designing this is separate than this yoga class, is separate than that power yoga class, is separate than that restorative yoga class. And so it really took all those 1 hours or 75 minutes or whatever it was, and just kind of like blew them up, but all on their own. And so something that I've been working with a lot lately is theming my months. So, and this is why I love astrology, because for someone who likes to compartmentalize things, astrology gives me this plan that's aligned with the seasons. And as somebody who, you know, we talked about an arise today, you know, circadian rhythm and adjusting ourselves for daylight savings time and all of that. So for someone who tries to live in tune with the rhythms of nature and of creation and all of that stuff, I love that astrology is like that. So what I do is I look at, okay, well, if this is the theme for the month, these are some of the things that our bodies want to do. These are some of the things that we would think of mentally, emotionally, and these are, you know, some of the spiritual things that go with it. And then I just think, okay, well, how can I put that into a HIIT class? How can I put that into a yoga class? How can I put that into a restorative class? How can I put that into a RISE, which is really not any kind of fitness class, but it's a wellness lifestyle class that includes the movement and the, you know, the mental stuff and the spiritual stuff. So I look at it more like, what's my overall arching theme? And then how can I present it in these ways? And it just feels like for me, it makes that. So instead of like 15 little things, I've got one big thing that I present 15 little ways, different ways.
Yeah, I like that. And I need to do more of that. I'm always kind of relieved when we've got like, oh, somebody asked us to do a performance at the banquet or whatever. So then we can focus on just practicing for that. And everybody else seems to like that too. But as you were talking, I was thinking about that what we do is kind of like decorating a Christmas tree. Ooh. So let's say we have the Christmas tree and we've got it up, but there's no decorations. So the Christmas tree would be like a master plan or a template. And so as you add decorations, it's like you've still got the template, but you're adding little sparkly things to it, little different things to keep them interested. Yeah. And they don't know that you still got your same plan because they see all the sparkly things that you've added to it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that analogy. Yeah. And I also think too, one of the things that I've had to get over, and I say that lovingly, is that every single experience has to be different and it has to be mind-blowing.
No, I have to work on that all the time.
Yeah.
And if I read a lot of in these groups on Facebook for yoga and group exercise, and somebody says, I've been teaching 40 years and I've never taught the same class twice. And I'm thinking, could I look inside your brain and see what's going on? Because I can't do that. Sometimes if it's a bad day for me, I just have to repeat what I did the time before, exactly. And I'm probably the only one who knows that. Most of them don't remember what I did the last time.
Yeah. See, for us, we're spending 15, 16 hours a week presenting this stuff. For them, they're only seeing us for that 1 hour. So we're like not even a percent of their week. So if their memory is anything like mine, whatever we did last week, I don't remember. So it could be brand new to them all the time. Do you know what I mean?
It's just our burden that we carry that we think that it has to be so special every single time, like a masterpiece every single time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that we have to remind ourselves is no matter what, we are so fabulous that no matter what we do, it's going to be a masterpiece, and then just get our brain out of the way so that it can flow through our heart.
I think you just said exactly what we need to be. That's where we need to be right now.
Yeah.
And I think that because you said that, my lipstick has changed colors.
I was just going to ask that. So when Jackie came on to the screen, she's like, this lipstick. What's this lipstick you have? What's it called?
It's called Tangee, T-A-N-G-E-E.
Tangee. And she said, she explained it as like a mood lipstick that changes with your mood. And I had made a comment because it was like reddish pinky. And does that mean you're full of joy and now your lips have changed?
It's darker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have your lips ever turned black wearing that stuff?
No.
Green? Like, what are the general colors?
No, it's in the pink, red, orange family. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I love that. Did you ever have a mood ring?
I think I did back in the day, in the 60s and 70s. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember those. I remember because it goes by your body temperature, and I always run cold. So I remember mine being darker usually.
Mm.
And then in the 80s and 90s, we had the hypercolor shirts that changed color based on your temperature.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah. Strange stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good times. Well, I love you. You know, we're changing. We talked about this in Arise today, changing the clocks. So by the time this is released, we're changing the clocks in like 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of, are you looking forward to it? Is it your thing?
I think that it's going to be hard in the morning, but I'm going to be happy to have more daylight in the afternoon. Yeah. And I hope my cats will adjust, because now they're still wanting to have supper and go to bed at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they're going to adjust and stay up later.
Yeah. Dominic at like 7 o'clock, he's like grunting at me, like, come on, we got to go to bed. I'm like, dude, I still have a couple more hours before that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he'll also want his walks a little bit later, because he likes to go at a certain time before the sun goes down. So that gives me a little bit more time, because right now he wants it in the middle of the day, like 4 o'clock. It's too early.
I think animals wear invisible watches. They know what time it is. Like my cat at the end of a rise, and we went over a little bit, my cat knew that it was 7 o'clock. And so she walked across the screen to announce it to the world that you need to be coming into the kitchen and feeding me.
Yeah. Dominic does the same. That's so funny. Well, Jackie Talley, I love you so much. I love our conversations. I could just keep talking to you forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love you too. And it's always just amazing that we come up with something to talk about.
Yeah. This goes back to, we get out of our heads and into our hearts and we just let it flow.
Mm-hmm. So let's do that.
Yes. Yes. Let's do more of that. I love
it. Yes.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening. We had Crystal, Dr. Pat, and Jackie being here today. Next week, Claudia Miko and I are getting together again for another episode of the Mind Body Misfits. So we'll see you then. Bye.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.